for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. Oops, got the wrong tab up. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Welcome to episode number 591 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher. And over the next 45 minutes, me, you, Joel Belton, Brian Peake, Carrie Shuttlecrab, Mr. Green Reads, Jenny Housley coming from the eye of the storm, DJ B-Set coming from the dumpster fire, Marcus Kyler with the Yeet Crew, folks over on LinkedIn like Raymond Cruz and Shakarat. It's going to be a good one, guys. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be tearing apart the top cyber news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner. So how can you use this information to meaningfully reduce cyber risk for your business stakeholders, right? We're not up here just, you know, delaying until it's time to go to work. There's actual value here, but how do we distill that out, right? That's what we're going to do. And if you're looking to break in the industry, maybe you're one of the students I spoke to yesterday and you're like, oh, I'm going to check out this guy's show and see how crazy he is. Listen, don't think that this is for practitioners only. There is massive value in understanding the meta of what is going on in our industry, as well as professional networking with the Simply Cyber community. Zeeshan Ali, hashtag Team SC knows what's cracking. Wilbert Philippe, hashtag Team SC knows what's cracking. Kimberly on the couch, she knows what's cracking, y'all. We got a great one for you. I want you to all know I do not prep or research any of the stories that we're going to be going through. So you're getting my raw, you know, unfiltered opinion, kind of hot takes on these things. I like to imagine that you and I like got into the office at 7:30 today. I got a cup of coffee right here. You got your coffee. And I'm like, hey, did you hear about, and then whatever that news story is, right? And then we just kind of jaw jack about it for a hot minute. All right, guys, before we get into it, let me shout out and say thank you to the stream sponsor, starting with my good friend, Eric Taylor, Casually Joseph, the crew over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. They are bringing the heat. Listen, Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But guess what? Barricade Cyber Solutions, you know what they know how to do? They know how to mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents. They know how to yeet threat actors out the environment. Believe that. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. You will not be disappointed. Also want to say shout out and love to Anti-Siphon Training. More about these beautiful babies at the mid-roll. Always very nice of Anti-Siphon Training to be up in the spot. Listen, guys, every episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief is worth half a CPE. So be sure to say hi in chat or hashtag Team SC in chat and grab a screenshot, file it away, put it on your desktop. It's half a CPE. And you're like, oh my God, Jerry, like eye roll, groan, half a CPE. Like, what am I going to do with that? That and $2 will get you a cup of coffee. Nope. It's all about consistency. We're here every single day. So if you show up every single day, that's 2.5 a week, 10 a month, 30 a quarter, 120 a year, way more than enough CPEs that you need in order to meet your CPE obligations if you hold cybersecurity certification. So just say what's up, hashtag Team SC. JE and Michelle screaming it from the rooftops. Cybertron's up in here. Good morning. It's great to see so many of you, Team SC, Simply Cyber community members. Chris Whitlock, my man, good to see you. Hey, Valentino. Glad to see you back in the spin. It's so good. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and hit it. I'll get you the mid-roll. We got jawjacking with Eric Taylor later on today, I believe. And then I got some announcements as far as like upcoming stuff, right? We got the Charleston Low Country Simply Cyber Community Locals Meetup tomorrow night. We've got tons of events on Friday. We got Jason Haddix on Thursday. So stay tuned. I'll give you all those great details and more. But right now, wah, 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 it is time to do work. If it is your first episode today, if today is your first time showing up, give us a hashtag first timer in chat. We've got a special emote and a special sound effect for you. You just got to let us know, hashtag first timer. And the reason why is because we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to kind of step into the light, step out of the shadow, and be a member of the Simply Cyber community and get that networking flexibility going. All right, I'm going to take a slug of this coffee and we're going to get busy. All right, are we good, co-workers? All right, I got the pups with me. They say we're good to go. So let's do it. Sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over all of us in an awesome way. I will see you all at the mid-roll.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm Rich Straffolino. Google to delete incognito tracking.
What? How does that even happen? I like literally was over here. This friggin' tech stack, man. Too much tech.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm Rich Straffolino. Google to delete incognito tracking.
Are you freaking kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Okay, so check it out. This is what's happened. I'm looking right now. If Rich Straffolino is in chat, the Daily Cyber Threat, the CISO series cybersecurity headlines MP4 is 10 seconds long. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but there's no podcast today. Can I get anybody to double check me on this one? I'm going to download it to my phone really quickly. This is obviously, hold on. Give me a second. Nom, 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 nom. See, this is business continuity plan. We're about to execute it. You're about to get it. Let's see. Nope. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Hot Mess Express. You got to validate. You got to verify. Oh, my God. All right. I wouldn't say this out loud, you know, for Kennedy, but here we go. This is us going to our, this is it. This is us doing it. Our business continuity plan, begin execution of business continuity plan. Here we go. All righty. I really didn't want to do this. I've got to teach at the Citadel today, so this is going to turn into a train wreck. But it is what it is, so let's go. This is what business continuity looks like. Mods, let me know if the audio is over my voice or subtly under my voice. All right, here we go. We're going to use CISO series stories and a little ChatGPT love. Google to delete records from incognito tracking. Good. Probably because they're being forced to, not because they asked to. All right, so our man on the street said, ChatGPT here, listen, Google has settled a class action lawsuit over privacy invasion. Google agreed to delete billions of records and accept restrictions on user tracking. The class action suit accused Google of invading privacy by collecting data in private mode. Now, many of you think, yes, Valentino, yeah, I'm sandwiched right in between the Alice in Chains and the Nirvana Unplugged episodes. All right, so many of you know about the incognito mode on Google Chrome. Well, surprise, surprise. It was just a, I mean, I'm being very facetious here, but it was just a sticker that they put on. Really didn't change anything. It's a $5 billion lawsuit with Google disputing the claims, but ultimately supporting the settlement. They made changes post-lawsuit, including data disclosure updates, which means they just tell you that they're stealing your data now. And hold on. How's audio with mic and music under? All right. Just let me know about the audio. I need a little help on dialing that in. So Google's going to change their practices by automatically blocking third-party cookies for all Chrome users. Incognito mode users already had this block, but it's a little bit more clear. The legal implications, the lawsuit, which led by users, but really between you and I, led by freaking lawyers, highlighted discrepancies in Google's claims about privacy. Judges rejected Google's dismissal bid, which led to the settlement. Google's actually facing multiple lawsuits right now, monopoly cases, settling previous claims for significant sums. All right, so here's the deal, guys. You could throw it into Google Translate to read it out loud. That's a good point, Haircut Fish. Although the way everything's routed, I don't know if my Chrome browser's the audio. It doesn't matter. It's fine. I'll just do it this way. So here's the deal. Google used to be, their motto used to be do no evil, right? And then they changed that when they wanted to penetrate into the Chinese market and realized that they had to basically censor stuff and not give access to data. So they decided to cash in and change their motto instead of sticking to their principles. This is basically the same thing. Welcome to 2024, where data is the new gold. Guys, do you know why AI is so freaking powerful? I'll give you a hint. It has a massive data set that they learn on. That's the value of data. Data, data, data. Give me that data, right? It's like, you know that, it's completely absurd. I am off the rails right now. But you know that animated GIF where the hot dogs hit the the woman in the face? That's like, imagine the hot dogs are data. Like, that's what's going on with data. It's just everywhere. And Google thought they were trying to be a little tricky here and just harvest data. Especially, the thing that makes it so gross, honestly, is that they were doing it in incognito mode. Now, you should have no assumptions of privacy in general, just because of the way capitalism works in the United States. But the incognito mode lended credence to the fact that you were incognito. They have a little what do they call it? Like a guy with like glasses and a hat and a trench coat. Like that was the logo. It was supposed to be your private, right? And in reality, they were just inviting you to pretend you were being private while harvesting your data. When they're deleting billions of records, you know, that's gotta sting, right? I hate to be this guy, but I almost wonder if like Google's more pissed about getting caught than they are about having to delete the data. You know what I mean? So stay tuned. I still use Chrome. I'm a huge Google like ecosystem user. This irritates me, but not enough, I guess, to do anything about it. I don't know. It's all a bit emotional. All right, let's keep going. AI hallucinated packages fool unsuspecting developers. Software developers relying on AI chatbots may encounter hallucinated packages. Warns a report from Lasso Security. Lasso's Bar Lagnato demonstrated how LLMs are large language models, which is actually what AI is. When we talk about ChatGPT, ChatGPT is just an interface into an LLM. And they can spread non-existent software packages, reiterating concerns from research. Threat actors could actually exploit this cleverly by creating malicious packages with similar names to hallucinated ones. AI chatbots produce over 20% hallucinations, with Gemini going as high as 64%. Wow. An empty package uploaded by the researcher was downloaded 30,000 times, highlighting potential risks of AI recommendations. This is actually really, really interesting. So we've known about hallucinating. And guys, if me reading the story and doing the subjective analysis is not a great experience, let me know in chat. The mod chat's wanting or pushing for the story to have the audio the way that like CISO Series has. So I just want to understand so we can make it the best experience for everybody here. Here's the deal. Two things. One, AI hallucinates all the time, right? Like we saw it really early with ChatGPT-3. There's a couple famous cases where like some lawyer basically did trial law or whatever and had a bunch of case law cited that never existed, and a judge called shenanigans on him and the guy got in trouble. With this, if you've ever asked ChatGPT to write code for you, like a Python script, it'll import things. And then you try to run the script and sometimes it won't work and it'll say this package doesn't exist. Now, ChatGPT was just, you know, doing a best effort or whatever to do it. But this is why you can't just replace humans with AI, because AI will make stuff up that doesn't even exist. Now, here's the clever thing. Well, one, be mindful, right, if you're trying to use it, that it, your code may not work. Okay, so A. B, and this is more important to me, and to me, I got to say it, I haven't said it in a while, but hat tip to the threat actors. I am routinely impressed with the creative kind of outside the box thinking of threat actors. This is why I would be a terrible red teamer or offensive security person, a hacker, because I'm conformist, right? Like, look at me, I'm wearing a collared shirt right now. Like, it doesn't much get more buttoned up, LOL, than this guy. So threat actors have discovered, or some security researcher has discovered, that because these hallucinated packages are there, when the code runs, it's trying to reach out and grab that package, right? It's trying to reach out and touch someone. So if you create the package, when it reaches out, the package will be there. So it's basically, it's kind of funny. Like normally you would write the malware and then hope people import it not knowing any better. And instead, the cart has gone before the horse, because people are writing, calling a script that doesn't exist, and then the malware authors write it and it gets pulled in. So very clever. Again, from a practical execution perspective, this is kind of silly, only because it would be a crime of chance, right? Like you're not targeting, you don't know who's writing the code. You don't know where it's being used. You don't know what the victim pool looks like. And you can't guarantee that they're going to pull in your code. Like, so if you do get someone, I guess maybe an info stealer or something, like you don't know who you're going to get. Are you going to get like a 14-year-old in Liverpool, or are you going to get a CEO of Pepsi? Like you have no idea, right? So it makes it, I don't know. It makes me think of like any like card games or any kind of like strategy game. Like you would rather focus your energy on a known outcome then spin your wheels on something that may or may not result in something valuable at all, right? You know what I mean? Like, again, guys, threat actors, they're people too, right? Threat actors, they got homes, they got children. I'm not trying to humanize them. They're criminals. But my point is, if you're going to spend 8 hours working on something, wouldn't you want the return on your investment to be high, right? Wouldn't you rather spend 8 hours building the perfect trap in the woods in order to catch dinner? Or would you rather just stand in the woods, spinning around, firing off, you know, that Gatling gun from Predator movie, right? And just hope you hit something. It makes no sense. Get to the chopper. Okay. All right, let's keep going. FCC to probe grave weaknesses in phone network infrastructure. The FCC is addressing vulnerabilities in telecom networks that can lead to cybercrime and spying. Investigations focus on weaknesses in SS7 and diameter protocols, which expose consumer locations. Carriers are required to detail prevention measures and provide examples of breaches. Thank you, Dan Catledge. SS7 and diameter lack proper encryption, leaving Americans vulnerable to while roaming. And Ron Wyden has urged the Biden admin to fix these flaws. FCC's actions are praised as responsible and necessary. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, come on. I'm scanning. SS7 and diameter crucial to telecom communication infrastructure. All right, here's the deal. Okay, I'm not saying don't do anything, all right? But here is the deal. I am not, first of all, as a disclaimer, I'm not an SS7 telecom, network communication, what is it? 5G expert. I'm none of those things. Okay. So just to qualify this, the SS7 protocol has been used for telecom infrastructure for years, and it has some known weaknesses. There are some more advanced threat actors that have attacked the SS7 protocol and weaponized it, or not weaponized it, but exploited it, excuse me. And there's been some research, I believe at Black Hat, around SS7 security research. Give me a second. Let me see, Black Hat. Cyber. I'm just curious. Yeah, Black Hat, SS7. This is from what year is this? 2017, right? SS7 attacker having turns into riot. How to make nation-state intel attackers live much harder on mobile networks. Okay? This is 2017. This is 7 years ago, and research was being presented at what is considered by many our industry's practitioner conference, right? So when you're coming at me with, oh, the FCC should be praised for their attention to detail, and this is a grave weakness. No kidding, man. It's been a known grave weakness for 7 or 8 years. It's just like, I almost feel like it's like a carousel going around, and it's like, oh, it's been out of the zeitgeist for a while. Let's bring it back. Oh my God, look at this grave problem. We should do so. Oh, it's gone. This is going to come up in 2030, right? So it's just for perspective, it's frustrating when things like this happen because, again, I've said this on the show before with other topics. Like, are you going to keep barking all day, dog? Or are you going to bite? Like, less talk, more freaking action, man. Like, we all know it. We all get it. Okay? It's a problem. What are we going to do about it? Oh, let's have a congressional meeting about it. Oh, let's talk about it. Let's continue to rehash everything we know. Let's bring in the experts again. I hope they fix it. Guys, here's another thing. In healthcare, right? In healthcare, there's a protocol called HL7. HL7 is the standard protocol for biomedical devices and lab machines and EHR systems and everything to communicate patient data around the network. It is like Telnet. It's completely insecure. There's no encryption, right? Like, this story could say Health and Human Services probe grave weakness in healthcare network infrastructure, and it'd be the same story. Like, we know what the problems are. That's my problem. My problem is that we know the problem, and no one's really doing anything about the problem except having these, like, chest-beating things. Like, you know, whatever. Good job, Ron Wyden, bringing this to light again. Senator, a Democrat from Oregon. Nick Barker in the House, ladies and gentlemen. But, let's do something. Here's the thing, guys. Upgrading hardware infrastructure takes money.
Great cash, homie.
Takes a lot of money, guys. Right? It's easy to say it. Like, again, I'm up here, like, banging my chest saying, fix it. It's easy to say it. You need to actually invest in it, account for budget in it, make it a priority. And that's really where it falls down. So there we go. DJ BSEC has actually chimed in here in Mod Chat saying that when he started networking back in the early aughts, 2010, SS7 was an issue then. And he suspects it was before, as do I. Again, like, this Black Hat talk was just the number one result on Google. I bet you if I did like 2 seconds of digging, I could find earlier conference talks and research being presented. Let's keep going. All right. Americans lost $1.1 billion to impersonation scams in 2023. Impersonation scams in the U.S. surpassed $1 billion in losses.
Great cash, homie.
Triple the figure from 2020. The FTC collected data from 490,000 reported scams in 2023, with 330,000 being business impersonation complaints and the rest involving government impersonation incidents. Interesting. Most scams are conducted through a phone call, followed by an email. That's right. Line between business and government impersonation scams is blurred. The top five scam types highlighted by the FTC include copy call. Like, what are we doing here? Oh, my God. I'm a bird. The top five scams include copycat account security alerts, phony subscription renewals. I know that one. Hey, your Geek Squad's renewed. Fake giveaways or discounts. Bogus problems with the law. I've seen that one. I've seen you miss jury duty, pay a fine, or you're going to go to jail. And made up package delivery problems. Oh, we got that. Who hasn't got a UPS driver can't find your thing? Click here on like fubar.xyz/UPS. So I don't know what copycat account security alerts are necessarily. Maybe those are the pop-ups that says your machine's infected. Call Microsoft. So anyways, here's what I would say. Okay. Here's what I would say. Business email. Okay. Hold on. Business email compromise fraud. It runs rampant. Threat actors can call you. We've all gotten, you know, random phone calls, scam, spam phone calls. They can call you. They can text you. They can send email. Phishing, smishing, all the ishing. It's an attack vector because it works and because you can do it from anywhere in the world. You can employ imprisoned people, right? Like, so you, like, we see this in Cambodia with the romance scams, but like, is it Chinese people or Vietnamese? I think maybe it's Vietnamese. Anyways, long story short, you can give somebody a playbook and say, call these 500 phone numbers, and if someone picks up, read this script to them. Go, right? So it's an easy crime. And obviously, it made over $1 billion in 2023. $1 billion. That means, you know, my Aunt Dorothea fell for it. That means Divine Dream Divine's dad fell for it. That means Joel Harrison's kid fell for it. You know what I mean? Like, these are real people. 500,000 reported scams. I'm sure another 500,000 that never reported it just because of shame or, you know, not wanting to admit, right? And by the way, just to point out, it's not always people with, like, dementia or whatever. Like, there's, like, all sorts of different people, all sorts of different walks of life. Doctors, lawyers, judges, teachers, right? Like, there's all sorts of people, politicians that fall for these things, right? So what I would tell you as a call to action is very, very simple. Right here, this sentence right here, the top five scams highlighted include 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If it was me, if it was my organization, I would create an email campaign next week, Monday through Friday. Welcome to the world of scams. Every single day this week, you can expect to see in your email another hot take on how to commit fraud. Number one, copycat account security. Show a screenshot of that Microsoft alert. Tell them what's up, $1 billion. Number two, phony subscription renewal. Show them that Geek Squad invoice PDF statement. $1 billion. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying make it fun, but I am saying this is a tailor-made email drip campaign for your end users. And because it's kind of sexy, frankly, like, I mean, for me, I find, I'm not going to commit fraud, obviously, but I find fraud a very, very fascinating, very, very interesting topic. I can go really deep on fraud. Jim Lund knows that, my fraud buddy, Jim Lund. So anyways, these five things right here, chef's kiss. Thank you so much, ChatGPT, for outlining this. Educate your end users, guys, or else, unfortunately, one of your end users is going to be contributing to the $1 billion loss in 2024. All right, let's take a beat here for, let's take a beat here for the mid-roll. Here we go. We're not going to be reading the CISO series ad either. Believe that. All right, everybody. Hope you're having a great show. Hope you're having a great show. I certainly am. This is why you got to show up for the lives, guys. Who knows what's going to happen next, right? Just want to say shout out and thank you. We got 410 people here, 413. A genuine coffee cup cheers and appreciation. Guys, the show doesn't always work the way that we expect it to, but we do try to deliver a great program, educational, entertainment. Even when things break down, we keep pushing forward. That's what we do. If you're getting value from the stream, go ahead and move over onto the YouTube platform and hit that like button. Help other people find it. Genuinely appreciate it. Want to say shout out and thanks again to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber and Anti-Siphon Training. Anti-Siphon Training, they are disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of their financial position. They offer their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and most importantly, engage with the community in a fun and inclusive way. Very similar to the way the Simply Cyber community engages with each other. If you like what's going on here, you will love Anti-Siphon Training. Go to antisiphontraining.com, link in the description below. And you could see here under the drop-down menu, they have training, then they have pay what you can training. And this is where the magic happens. You can literally pay whatever you want, including $0. Thanks so much to John Strand, Velda Lemke, Zach Hill, Deb Wigley, Jason Blanchard, the whole crew over at Black Hills and Anti-Siphon for sponsoring the show. All right, guys, pivoting over really quickly, the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Every single day we do a different community member holds the baton. It's very simple, guys. If you want to blow up your professional network, right? Very simple. If you want to blow up your professional network, simply volunteer right now to be the one person for today to take the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. It's very simple. Very simple. Jack Glatzenberg has the baton right now. Jack is going to tag somebody, right? Go online, post your story, whoever volunteers, and use the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Tag me in it so I can help amplify it and help other people find you. Now, for everybody else, simple. If you want to blow up your professional network, it is trivially easy. Simply Cyber Community has built this thing out to make it super easy for you. All you have to do is go on LinkedIn and search for the hashtag you see at the bottom of the screen, Simply Cyber Community Challenge. You will see tons of people with that using that hashtag. Connect with those people, comment on their posts, connect with people in the comments. What will happen is you'll get picked up in the Peloton, and the people who come and connect next with the people in comments will connect with you. Passed the GAC G-Pen last night. Reed Hobart with the win. What's up? Deb Wigley's the best. Good to see you, Deb. All right, guys. want someone to take that baton. Jack Glatzberg. Is he in here? Jack? I don't see Jack in here. We'll give him a minute. Mods, if you can keep an eye out for Jack. For everybody else, let's la, 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 la. All right. Hey, every single day of the week has a special segment, and Tuesday is Tidbits Tuesday. I share a little bit about myself, see if it resonates. Really quick, coming in as a recommendation from Brent B. and Matt M., Netflix, The Gentlemen. Okay, guys, this is a Guy Ritchie production, 8 episodes. It plays like a movie. I binged watched it. I literally watched in 2 settings. I watched 4 hours in a row twice. This show is phenomenal. If you do like Guy Ritchie's style, if you do like that kind of like British seedy underground, gypsies, like if you like Snatch, Lock, Stock, 2 Smoking Barrels, this is an absolute epic ride. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you're looking for a show to throw into your queue and binge, this right here is a good one for you, or I recommend it. Okay, let's get back to the news, shall we? And mods, you'll have to let me know on the audio because I've moved the slider all around. All right, here we go. We're right on schedule too, by the way, which I love. All right, here we go. Poland launches inquiry into previous government's spyware use. Yep, you got to be careful when you're in control, because when the next person comes into power, they're going to eviscerate you. Poland investigates Pegasus spyware usage, launching investigation into previous government's use of Pegasus spyware. Parliamentary inquiry is underway. Basically, they're investigating the previous regime. Victims will be notified. okay, a 2021 data leak revealed Pegasus was targeting various countries, including Poland, of course. Alleged targets in Poland included opposition figures like this guy, Brazia. And the new government vows to investigate alleged abuse. Right, okay. Bodnar emphasizes confidentiality. Target list, well, that's kind of sussy sus, isn't it? Polish authorities reportedly ceased Pegasus use in 2021 after publicized revelations. There you go. So they stopped doing it after they got caught. Seems very familiar. Just like Google. They're going to delete all the records after they got caught. Nice job, big tech and capitalism. Way to go, guys. I really appreciate you taking that seriously. Okay, so here's the TLDR. If you didn't know, NSO Group is an Israeli-based company that has zero-click malware, which basically means, you know how, like, no one can stop? You can't stop someone from text messaging you, right? You can report junk, you can delete it, you can do all these things, but you cannot stop the initial message from being sent to you. Can't do it. Pegasus from the NSO Group, they know how to send a specially crafted text message to an Apple phone, which will compromise the phone. Beautiful piece of work. I mean, we're talking next level hacker stuff, right? But because of that level of sophistication, they were able to sell it for $500,000 under the guise that it would be for good only. Well, who gets to decide good, right? That's a very subjective question. And of course, it got abused to no end. This is a perfect example. It sounds like the party that was being spied on actually ended up winning the election in the Polish election process. So here's the deal. People in power want to stay in power. It's like a human condition. And they will use the tools at their disposal to retain that power, including spying on their opposition so they can discredit, extort, potentially leverage, etc. Right? Like, I know where the bodies are buried. I know your secrets. Boom, get out of the race. Or boom, you know, I'm going to go public with this information, like whatever, right? It's a technique as old as time, right? It's a song as old as time, tale as old as time, whatever, Beauty and the Beast. I'm trying to sing that song. You guys know what I'm saying. If you got kids, you know what I mean? Or you were a kid, which I think we all were kids at one point. Okay. So I appreciate this. Basically, the Polish regime won, and now they're gonna do a full investigation, which, by the way, thank you. I appreciate the transparency. I also think there's a little bit of gamesmanship here, because by doing the investigation and getting transparent with the abuse of this technology, they're further going to be galvanizing the public against the outgoing regime, I would imagine, right? Because I'd be pissed, right? If I found out that XYZ person or politician was exploiting access and you know, using whatever, the resources of the CIA to, like, look at freaking the, oh my God, Nixon, President Nixon, right? He basically was doing that with the Watergate scandal. Like, he just didn't have access to Pegasus spyware, but he was literally doing the same thing, essentially, spying on a competitor. So, good. This is good. Highly politicized. Reid Hulbert is in the house. Reid Hulbert, go ahead and crush that baton, man. Also, I forgot to play this sound effect on the super chats.
We just become best friends.
Yep. Sorry about that. All right, let's keep going. Exclusive. Oh my God. Who's ready to feel a little PTSD here when I say this? Like, okay. Microsoft to separate Teams and Office globally amid antitrust scrutiny. I know I'm not the only person in chat who, when you hear the Microsoft Teams ding, like that sound effect from Microsoft Teams message, you're like, just twitch a little bit. Oh my God. All right, let's see what ChatGPT says. Microsoft announces the sale of its Team app, separately from its Office product globally, following 6 months of unbundling in Europe. Europe's commission investigation stemmed from a complaint by Salesforce-owned Slack about Microsoft tying Teams in Office. Teams, initially part of the O365, replaced Skype for Business, which was trash anyways. Microsoft Teams is not much better. I digress. Microsoft's decision to sell Teams and Office separately addressed the concerns of the European Commission. Microsoft has introduced new commercial suites without Teams for regions outside the U.S. Pricing for Office without Teams ranges from $7 to $55, while Teams alone costs $5. Unbundling may not prevent antitrust charges, of course, and analysts believe Microsoft's proactive approach might influence regulators despite potential fines. All right, here's the deal. A couple things here. This is like, dude, this is straight up capitalism 101. Like, you're going to move and shake in every which way you possibly can to make as much money as you can. It was a no-brainer from day one for Microsoft to bundle Teams into all of this stuff. Microsoft is trying to basically, you know, be the one-stop shop for all the things, which is why they acquired Skype, right? Which is why they acquired, what else did they acquire? There's other things that they, well, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if Microsoft Defender was an acquired EDR solution or not, but anyways, my point is, a lot of people, like you and I, hate Microsoft Teams, right? Like Microsoft, if of all the like solutions that came out of the post-pandemic digital transformation to enable remote workforce and digital teams, Microsoft Teams is like one of the worst ones, in my opinion. Great, terrible experience. Like people who save files in there, they get lost. It creates like these SharePoint sprawls. Anyways, but the reason that we got rid of Zoom at work and started using Teams is because the CFO, the CIO, and the CTO were like, why are we paying for Zoom if we already pay for Teams? Go use Teams, right? So Teams grew like a mold in a you know, Amazon jungle because it was basically already bundled and paid for. And people in the European Union, specifically Slack, right? So Slack wants to penetrate the market and be an option for businesses without having to fight Microsoft. And that's what this is. So I guarantee you, Microsoft, here's what's going to happen. Microsoft is going to sell it separately, but there's probably a juicy discount if you bundle them, right? Like, oh, when you bundle, you save, right? That's like a standard marketing campaign, right? You see it with phone companies, right? Buy two, get a third free. When you bundle, right? Get your home and auto insurance when you bundle. This is going to be no different, man. Get your Office apps and your digital communication platform when you bundle. Save $5. Like, they'll separate it, but it'll be available as a bundle at a cheaper discount. And they'll lose some market share for the most part. But in reality, Microsoft's just going to continue to print money. BSEC says in chat, it's my understanding that Microsoft's going to remove the personal versus office school teams and it'll all become single Teams proc. Yeah, I recently had to use Teams and I saw like the new app. I'm sure that's all part of what they've been doing. I always found, honestly, like the personal versus office to be clunky and confusing in the anyways. Yeah, Brian Mulder. Share a file, come into my cloud. All right, let's keep going. I was not physically prepared to read all these stories today, so I didn't pack enough water. I got to do an hour and a half lecture after this too. So, sorry, cadets. All right, let's keep going. Finishing strong up in here. U.S. tech giants turn to Mexico to make AI gear, spurning China. Ooh, then they're fighting words. Some major U.S. companies in AI are urging Taiwanese manufacturers to increase AI-related hardware production in Mexico to reduce dependence on China. Foxconn, a Taiwanese company, is investing more into Mexico to take advantage of the USMCA free trade deal, whatever that is, attracting billions of dollars in nearshoring efforts. That's a fun term, nearshoring. I haven't heard that one yet. Mexico is poised to become a significant manufacturing base for the USMCA region, altering Mexico's industrial structure. Let's see. Despite opportunities, Mexico poses risks such as crime, infrastructure, labor, unionization, wage competition, etc. Chinese imports to the U.S. have decreased with Mexico's shares in rising, indicating a shift, and Mexico's officials are open to collaborate with Taiwanese manufacturers. Okay, here's the deal. This is happening, okay? I didn't know. I do need crank coffee, Adam. Listen, I didn't know this was happening, but this makes total sense. Like, when I see something like this, I'm like, brilliant. Okay, so if you haven't been paying attention, there has been a massive effort by Western philosophy nation states to decouple from essentially China, but we're going to call it BRICS-based nation states, but mostly China, right? China, made in China. The global supply chain in the 80s blew up, right? It was like, oh, you could get it produced in China for fractions of a dollar, mass production, IoT devices, etc. With kind of the, I don't know, this thing between U.S. and China, there's been a massive effort to basically decouple, right? So semiconductor technology not going to China, Japan, Netherlands signing treaties not to push tech over there. Taiwan is kind of a interesting case because China doesn't see Taiwan as Taiwan. They see Taiwan as a member of China, even though Taiwan is its own country to some people, right? So this effort, you can't just hit an easy button and move all of your industrial base. You can't move all your manufacturing and everything. You've got to have a place to do it. You've got to build the infrastructure. You got to get the staff. You got to get the supply chain back up and running. It's very disruptive. So where are we going to do it? Dude, Mexico, perfect, right? I could also see some South American countries working up. Here's the thing. Mexico has been known for a long time as having like massive cartels and crime and drug trafficking and stuff like that. The amount of money here. Okay, so all these things, you can expect to see this happening. This is going to happen. I guarantee you. The wheels are already in motion. The power players that are in control, this is what's happening, okay? They wouldn't have started investing in building that infrastructure unless they were going to go all the way. Now, here is a spicy hot take. Because real money, like big money, is going to be investing big money into Mexico, and they plan on making... It's too late now, podcast. Okay, so here, I'll just get straight to the point. I believe that the cartels and all that issue, one of two things is going to happen. One, they're either going to be paid to leave that all alone, the big tech stuff all alone, or they will be handled, okay? And I know that sounds dark and macabre, but, and maybe I'm being too dramatic in Hollywood, but here's the thing. When you're talking billions of dollars and tech giants are involved, who are basically the Gilded Age barons of today in the digital age, you don't screw around with someone's money. So I could just see, like, if it turns into a problem, it's going to be handled swiftly and with great, great action. Okay, so we'll see where it goes. It'll take a few years, but you could actually see Mexico transform into, you know, a digital hotbed of industrialization. So very cool. I'm just hearing now that the CISO series podcast has been fixed, but it's too late. The horse is out of the barn. We're running it this way today. All right, establishment of the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Cyber Policy. Holy crap. That's a mouthful, triple word score if you're playing Scrabble. All right. The Department of Defense has established the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Cyber Policy, the ASDCP, really just rolls off the tongue, and the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Cyber Policy, also the OASDCP. Jesus. Imagine having that business card. You like hand it to someone and they have to like turn it over to finish reading it.